We had heard about CTC, so I think we want everyone to please be part of one CTC. Our goal is for every member of Agape House of Worship to be part of one church in the community. That's what CTC comes for. That stands for Church in the Community. All right? And it's a small group. All right? And the goal is to have a small group of people who study the word together, who learn together, who love each other, and who are committed to really walk this journey together. So please go to the website and sign up for the one that is close to you and or nearest to you or of interest to you. And if you don't have anyone close to you, there's a button in there where you can also let us know, request, and we can make sure we create. The good thing about CTC is they can be created as time goes on. All right? God bless you. Amen. I have a few announcements before we go into the word. We have meet and greet today. Amen. Meet and greet is for people who have been coming for the last few weeks, few months. We haven't really had a chance to sit down with you. And we want to do that. We want to actually have a chat with you. So that takes place in the prayer chapel. All right, prayer chapel is if you go just to my right, there's a hallway there, make a right, is actually behind this stage right here. So please go there after service. We're going to sit down with you and have a light lunch, get to know you a little more, and we take it from there. Amen. All right, we are starting. This is a busy week in Agape House of Worship, usually the first week / the last week, which usually is always, there's a lot of things that go on that we don't want you to miss, and they are very exciting. So we announced that. Of course, on Wednesday, we are starting a new Bible study series. Amen. It is titled Wisdom for Living. All right. It's a study of the book of James, Epistle of James. So we're going to do a 12-week study of the Epistle of James. All right, by the time we are done, you're going to know James left, right, and center, in and out. Amen. I will kick it off this Wednesday, and we have 11 other, 10 other ministers in the world who are going to take it one by one, and we want you to also join us and study together. I think it's going to be awesome. And later in the evening, Wednesday being the last day of January, we're going to have our Command Your Month prayer, all right? So you join us at 9. And on Friday, we have our Fresh Outpouring service, yes. Amen, which is the first Friday of the month. And we have Pastor Eric Butler, who is a prophetic minister. He's a pastor. I've known him for a number of years. I've always been wanting to have him to come and minister here. God just hasn't given us the opportunity to do so. And God is doing it. Amen. So I want you to be there. He's going to be ministering along with other ministers. And I think that is going to be very, very awesome. So please join us on Friday. And God bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you because your word is quick. Your word is powerful. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is the light and the lamp. Lord, let your word gain an entrance into our heart. Let it bless us. Let it change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So we've been doing a On the Rock series, building your life on God's wisdom that never fails. Last week I was in South Jersey because they are also doing the same series. I did part 3 and Pastor Paul was here. To bring part 3 of the word here. Amen. And we thank God for that. Now, I am going to just read a passage of the scripture that I think is very important that to illustrate what we've been talking about so far. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read 3 verses there. In fact, I want everybody to read this passage with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. Can we see it on the screen? Is he on the screen now? All right. All right. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. Without going into the theological background of this, because there's a long story behind every passage, which I would have loved to, but we don't have time. Paul, who is the writer of here, is presenting two critical aspects of Jesus Christ. All right, he said Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. Someone once described it like it's as if the two wings that we need to fly as believers, right? We need the wing of the power of God, and we need the wing of the wisdom of God. What is the power of God? The power of God is God's ability to supernaturally intervene in any situation, right? To just bypass naturalness. Supernatural is super over natural, right? When something is more than natural, healing is supernatural. Miracles are supernatural. God intervenes. Things that are supposed to go normally this way, God intervenes, blesses you miraculously. God does that. And as a believer, one of the things we obviously know is because we are connected to God, we get to participate in his power. Amen. But there's also the other aspect of Jesus Christ, which we should equally embrace, is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is the inner workings of God. All right? It's the ways of God. It's the God's superior way of reasoning, of thinking, right? Of doing things that introduces us into his supernatural life. All right? So God wants us to have, what Paul is saying here is, he wants believers to have equal passion for the power of God and for the wisdom of God. Oftentimes, believers, we have passion for one without the other. You know, people have passion for the power of God. All right? They can believe God to intervene in their finances, right? They can claim, you know, just supernatural money deposits in their account. You know, debt cancellation supernaturally. Now, that happens every once in a while. God sometimes. But God is also a God of wisdom. God of principle. He has given us his principles, his wisdom, how to manage our finances and how to enjoy his increase, his supernatural blessing. So it's not all the time we are looking for his power. Oftentimes, people ignore the wisdom of God up to a point that they now need the power of God to survive. And that is not the way to live. Hope you are getting what I'm talking about. God has given us the wisdom, even how to live our life, live healthy. There's a lot of prescription in the Bible about what to eat, what not to eat. It's not necessarily law. It's God's way of really just governing our lives. You know, how we should live. Someone can ignore all that and do whatever and get into trouble. Someone may not rest. God instituted Sabbath, right? That means he wants us to have a balanced life. Now, if you go out of balance, we can really hurt our bodies, right? Then we need divine healing. It's not how God wants us to live. So, as believers, we must have equal passion for what? The power of God and the wisdom. Some people have passion for the wisdom of God, which is the knowledge of God, and they ignore God's power. That is also not going to get you to where you need to be. There will be time where you just need God's supernatural divine intervention in your life. There will be time when demonic attack, demonic affliction, right, will come against you. When you need to cast out devils, all right? How do you cast out devils? The power of God, all right? You need the power. So a believer that will really thrive, do well, must have passion for both. I want you to say passion for both. Amen. And that's why this is important. So we're going to go to Matthew. Go back to Matthew chapter 7 that we have been reading. We're going to read two verses there. Verse 24 and 25. Can we read it together again? I just want to make sure you are not sleeping on me. Amen. Verse 24 and 25. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Amen. We've covered this over the last 4 weeks. This is the fourth one. We've gone deep. We've talked about the wise builder, the foolish builder. Today, we're just going to wrap it up by covering what I call, will your building stand? Will your building stand? Now, this place, it says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall. That's awesome. And that's God's vision for us. God's vision for us is when rain falls, when floods come, when the winds blow and beat on your house, you will not fall. You will still be standing. That is the essence of this series. And I believe it couldn't have come at the right time, especially at the beginning of the year, to prepare us for what God has for us. Pastor and author, many of you will be familiar with Charles Swindoll, right? Charles Swindoll. He said, he made a famous statement that many people have quoted over and over again. He said, life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. So much of life is what happened to us, 10% of it, but how we react to it. A lot of time we can't necessarily control what happens to us. All right, but we can control how we react to it. So as we navigate through life, all right, we will encounter challenges, setbacks, unexpected events. Those are the what we liken to rains falling, winds blowing, floods coming. All right? While we may not be able to control all these events, right, we can control how we respond as believers, all right? But most importantly, we can control what kind of house we build now, all right? Because we are building now, isn't that so? You're building. Your choosing to come here this morning is part of your building. Every action, inaction is building. So we can control, and that is the greatest thing you can control, is how you build your life. The quality of the material that you use to build your life. Whether it's your spiritual life, how are you building your spiritual life? Some people are just building their spiritual life on sensationalism, emotionalism, not on the word. Some people are just building their spiritual lives on lies that they have been taught, believe, that are not necessarily rooted in the Word of God. That's why sometimes when people hit challenges, some people abandon their faith altogether. They have a loss, they have challenge, they have things, then they are because their spiritual life is built on a faulty foundation, sometimes on wrong beliefs. Some people go to a crusade and the preacher says, give your life to Jesus Christ and you will be rich. And that's how they build their life, that if I serve Jesus Christ, he's going to really make me wealthy. Now, that's a faulty foundation. That's not the promise of salvation. Of course, the promise includes God taking care of you, but that's not the essence of salvation. Then people get into challenges, financial challenges, things don't work out. What do? They abandon the faith. So it's very important that we ensure that we are building our spiritual life on a solid foundation. All right? We can determine that. What is the material you're using to build your financial life? Is your financial life just built on, you know, world system? You know, system that is just around you. Is God included in it? Is the word of God the guiding principles of how you run your finances, your career? Is the word of God the basic principles you run your family, even raising your children? Some people don't care about the spiritual health of their children. I've seen people that they don't care. They just say, you know, as long as my child is smart, they get all A's, that's all I care about. I mean, but they can get all A's and really not be spiritually prepared for what life is bringing to them. Many of them fall apart. You know, so it's not enough to just say, oh, my kids, they are cute. They wear a nice jacket for them. Go buy a designer jacket or shoes or whatever and just send them to great schools and, you know, come on and all this. Those are great, all right? But you have to care about their spiritual foundation, because that's what is going to sustain them. That is really what is going to determine how they will withstand when rain comes, when flood comes, when wind blow. So we need to really begin to go into the word of God to build every aspect of our life. And this is what 1 Corinthians 3:10 tells us. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, he says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he built on it. So we got to really be very, very careful. You know, don't be a foolish person that thinks you can beat the system. You know, foolish people always think they can cheat. They can beat the system. They can cut corners. That somehow they're just going to escape. You're not going to escape. You're not going to escape challenges. Challenges are going to come. Don't say, you know, I'm just going to claim it away. I'm just going to banish it and just, you know, bind problems and they would never come near me. That's not going to happen. Oh, don't bring negativity to me, Pastor. So maybe Jesus was building negativity to you when he said, in this world, you will have. So is Jesus being negative when he's saying that? No. It's just telling us that life will come with challenges. All right? So it's better to make sure you are rock solid. You are prepared. Hallelujah. The wise man, King Solomon, said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It's because your strength is small. Rain will come. Flood will arise. Wind will blow. You can't control that. There's no amount of prayer, confession, binding, and losing that will prevent rain from falling, storm from arising. No, there's no amount of that. But you can determine the strength of your building. That is in your control. All right? So stop allowing people to deceive you, to tell you can pray every problem away. No, you're not going to be able to pray every problem away. Every problem, rather. You're not going to be able to pray every challenge away. That's what people believe. And they get themselves into a problem. Look at what Job went through. I mean, just look at some of the stories in the scripture. I mean, they are real stories. I mean, look at Job, a man that feared the Lord, right? Obeyed the Lord, was righteous, did everything almost perfect. Look at what he went through. Lost his children, lost his health, lost all his money. Even his friend said, "This is too much. You must have done something crazy. There is a curse upon your life." Right? And sometimes that is, you know, so we got to be very careful when we throw words around. It's not every time people have challenges that there's a curse upon their life. No, it's not. I mean, Job's friends were convinced something is wrong. And they even said, "Curse God and die." But he refused to. So we need to understand that life is full of challenges. It's going to come. But we need to know, what am I building my life with? That's the most important thing. So don't cheat. Don't skip all the, you know, teachings. You know, because that's part of building your foundation. Don't skip studying the word, developing a very strong prayer life personally for you. Don't just be a prayer warrior when you are going through challenges. Some people are very good prayer warrior when challenges are in their life. Once challenges go, they're like, "You know what? Challenges is gone now. I'm no longer sick. Why should I live in the hospital?" That's their mindset. They see church as an hospital. They see God as an hospital. No, it's life. It's building. You are building. You are building. So build yourself so that your strength can withstand even when adversity comes. Hallelujah. Paul said in Ephesians 6, "Having done all to stand." Stand therefore. What makes you to stand? The strength you have inside of you. In Ephesians 3:16, it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being." We're not just talking about physical strength. In your inner being, we're talking about the strength, the core, what you are made of inside. That's what God is working on. God is working on your inner being. He's working to strengthen you, your conviction. Is your conviction just going to go away just because life is challenging? Some people just throw their conviction. They are believing God. They are believing his principles. They are believing God's goodness. Those should never go away. But if it's weak, guess what? They go away very quickly when people are going through. When people go through challenges, they just throw away. Bible says, "Do not throw away your confidence, because it will be rewarded." Don't throw away your conviction. Don't throw away your confidence. But it has to be strong. Don't cut corners. Don't all of a sudden compromise your faith. Yeah, don't compromise your faith just because, "Oh yeah, everybody's doing it. If you don't do it, you're not going to go ahead." Don't compromise your faith. Stay true to your conviction inside of you. It's not just about how loud we are. It is what is going on inside of you. So it is easy for people to blame their troubles on happenstance. "Oh, this is what happened to me. This happened. But you know, what happened to us? They are tests. They are actually challenges, are test agents to test the quality of the life that we have built. I tell people, in every situation you find yourself, be a believer. And you can. You know, there was a popular phrase what would Jesus do? Now, dude, that was became popular in the 90s. But that's actually true. He's saying, be a believer. Respond the way a believer in Jesus should respond. Someone hurts you, be a believer. Don't just throw away your Christianity just because someone hurts you. You know, someone borrowed money and didn't pay, then you're all of a sudden an unbeliever. I mean, and you are cursing, and you are fuming, and you are saying, if I get you, if I... And you are, all of a sudden, all foul languages, they are coming out, you are acting. That's because you don't have a conviction. So be a believer, respond correctly. And you can choose that, but you have to be... Inside, those convictions have to be strong. So happenstance, they are testing agents. The good thing is we don't have to wait to find out what we are building. If what we are building is going to survive. No, that's not what we are saying. That's the good thing, right? That's why we are going through this. So we have to just ensure we are using true and tested material. Just build your life using true and tested material, the Word of God. And Bible says the Word of God is actually, it's been tested. It's been tested in heaven before it's released. Psalm 12 verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to resort to cheap materials and hope that challenges will never come. You see, people who use cheap materials, they are just hoping that, termites won't come. And they use cheap wood to build the house. They're just hoping and praying, termites won't attack this building, right? They're just hoping and praying, the winds of 100 miles an hour won't come in this direction. They build a house, by the coast of Florida. And they are just hoping and praying. We're just going to stand and command, hurricane, go to Texas. Yes, it might work one or two times. One day it's going to come. Just use tried and tested materials to build. The word of the Lord is tried and tested. So, in construction, there is something that we call non-destructive tests. See, there are ways you test material, right? And this is used in all kinds of in every industry, by the way, IT industry, whatever industry, you call something non-destructive test. There is destructive test when you build a car or a prototype and you try to crash it. Have you seen one of those videos? Yeah. I know you want to see which one will really survive, how much impact they can withstand. Those are destructive tests, really. But there are non-destructive tests that God has given to us as believers to really ensure that we know. Because, you see, we don't want to find out that what we have been building is not going to stand when storm comes. That's the worst time to find out. How many of us know that? The worst time to find out that your house can actually withstand storm is during the storm. Because it's too late. All right? It's too late at that point. So you got to really... But along the line of our life, we just have to ensure we know. And God is a good God. He has given us ways to know. Hallelujah. The first is to use tested materials. All right? Because you have to use what we call recommended quality materials. to build a house. All right. When we in construction, you pour concrete, you make sure you have the right mix. In fact, they will hire inspectors to make sure you are using the right mix, right wood, right material, the steel strength you are using, everything is the right material for what you are doing so that your house can withstand the weight, the forces that is going to come against it. So you have to build with recommended quality materials. They may not be cheap, but make sure you go for them. They might cost you, make sure you go for them. They might make it slower, make sure you go for them. You know, things can be slow when you are, you know, when you are following God's principles. Getting rich can be not, may not be as quick as you think, all right? Just because you are following God, you know, just because you are following God's principles. You know, many things might not be as quick. Sometimes it's because we're actually following the right principles. You may not get a job as quickly as everybody gets. You might not get a promotion as quickly because you're following the right principles. You are using the quality material prescribed by the Word of God. So make sure you build with recommended quality material. Praise the name of Jesus. Number two, make sure you perform regular self-examination. Regular self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us, examine yourself as to whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Perform self-examination. You know, when you study for exams, if you have taken a few exams, you know, the best way to know is to do what is called mock exam. Right? But some people cheat on their mock exam. supposed to be for 60 minutes, they extend the time to 90 minutes. Then they take the mock exam, then they score high, and they say, yes! Forgetting that they're not going to extend the time when you take the real exam. Right? So don't cheat on your mock exam. So, the Bible says we should test ourselves. We should examine ourselves. The best examination is self-examination. You don't want to find out that you didn't cover the syllabus during the exam. During the exam, you're not going to be able to tell the, excuse me, I didn't cover this part. Can I go back and study a little more? No, the exam, you got to finish this. You finish this, and if you fail, then you're going to come back. My dad used to tell me, failure is harder than success. The price of failure is greater. You know, some of these things you don't know when you're young. You say, the price of failure is actually harder than the price of success. Especially if you still want to succeed. Now you're going to have to study again to take the same exam. Whereas if you have studied a little harder the first time, you'll get it right. So self-examination is important as believers. And it's good to be honest. David was praying. He said, search me, O God, right? And see my heart. We need to do that. We need to constantly say, God, search me. Examine me. Convict me. And God wants to do that. That's the Holy Spirit wants to convict us and point areas of our lives, right, where something is wrong. He wants to shine the light on it so we can correct it before it is too late. Some of you are being examined now. The Holy Spirit is using this word, is hitting you. And just take it. Just say, you know what, this is for me. Don't get mad. Don't harden your heart. You know, the Bible says, harden not your heart. Some people harden their heart intentionally. They don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be examined. They don't want to face the light of God. The word of God is light that exposes darkness. You need to regularly say, Lord, examine. You need to have sessions of prayer where what you're going to say is, God, examine me. Holy Spirit, examine me. Shine your light and reveal any area of my life that I need to make amendment, that I need to fix. I don't want to find out when I meet you that I could have lived a different life. It will be too late that time. I don't want to get to the judgment seat of Christ and realize I could have done a better job. So self-examination. You know, one of the reasons God says Holy Communion helps us with self-examination. There are many things that help us, but all of us have to put self-examination. We can't just be living our life and block our mind and just not think about these things and just go through life without some time of sober reflection, self-examination, and allowing God to really fix us. Because nobody can do that. Only you can do that. Praise the name of Jesus. Number three. I'm about to offend some people now. Are you ready for this? Yes. It's my birthday. I think you at least I should be getting some love this season, right? Submit yourself to spiritual leadership. Submit yourself to spiritual leadership. So Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. So God gives us spiritual leaders. And it's up to you to discern who that spiritual leader is. Do you know that you have a choice, obviously a great deal of choice, in who your spiritual leader is? All right? And once you discern in your heart, Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. So you always know the voice of the shepherd, even the under shepherd that God gives you. Some of you know you're supposed to be here. You just heard the voice. You say, this is my pastor. This is the person that I trust, that God has put me under. And God doesn't make mistakes in those things. Now, until you find that person, you're always running out. You're always going everywhere, right? You're always. But once you find it, he says, obey them. Obey those who have rule over you. Be submissive to them. That means listen to them. You see, obedience, submission, those things, they don't really count until you disagree with the person you're obeying. If you only obey when it is something you are going to do anyways, that doesn't count as obedience that much. The real test of obedience is when you are told something you normally wouldn't have done. Something that is difficult. Something that is harder. You're told to come here for tongue of fire. 8 hours of prayer. You're like, really? Where does Pastor Jide come up with all these things? But I'm going to go. I don't know how I'm going to survive. I'm going to lie down there. Even if I'm sleeping in church, where else can I sleep except in the house of my Lord? But you get there, you realize that this is amazing. There is something about this. God is in this, right? This is, wow. Oh, come for retreat. It's good for you. Oh, retreat? I'm going to pay my money, then go somewhere? To what? To pray, to study the word. Can't I do that in my house? You see, those are little things that are very important. Look at what he says, and I want you to pay attention to this. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive. For they what? They watch out for your souls. God appoints shepherds, and he empowers them to watch out for your soul. A sheep that think they are smarter than the shepherd, what is going to happen to the sheep? Get lost. Just, oh, this shepherd, this guy is too boring. Can't we just be just do some excitement? I want to wander away a little bit. It's just this direction all the time. I mean, that's just one way. Let me stray a little bit. What happened to those sheep? If it's lost, it will have been better. Maybe they can be found. They fall into the hand of prey. They get killed. And sometimes God even give us shepherds like David that will come after the lion. But it's not every shepherd that can be like David. That can kill a lion. That is courageous. The guy went after a lion to rescue a sheep. Woo! God, make me like David. Hallelujah. But don't wander around all the time. Hoping you will be rescued. Time will fail me to tell you. Obviously, I can't tell real tech, but stories, heartache of people who have made wrong decisions against spiritual advice. And there are so many casualties of that in churches, everywhere. People who just think they are smarter. They don't care about, spiritual counsel. And they choose. He said, because a good shepherd is watching over your soul. And when you find out, how do you know a good shepherd? They love, they care, they have integrity. The word of God is the basis of what they do. They're not giving you a self-serving advice. They now say, oh, come on, sow a seed here so I can pray for you. They're not saying that. They're not taking advantage of you. You know a good shepherd when you see one. Hallelujah. And when you find one, submit yourself. Let them do so with joy, not with grief. Don't grieve them. Because you have no profit from them grieving. Praise the name of Jesus. That is how God tests us. That is how God ensures that our life is built with quality material. Right? That's how God ensures. He gives us a shepherd, and that shepherd is to guide. Number four, and the last that I will say, surrender yourself to the discipline of the Lord. Don't just think everything is rosy. In fact, Hebrews, we're going to read Hebrews 12:6-7. It said, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son, and daughter. Endure hardship as discipline, because discipline comes as hardship. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? So God administers disciplines. Now, how does God do it? Yeah, sometimes God actually uses human vehicles to administer discipline, to correct. And this day, correction is becoming more and more difficult. People leave church just because they are corrected. Just because somebody sit down and say, Ah, sister, the way you dress is not the best. Then they are angry. Who gives anybody right over how I... No, you gave them the right. You did. The day you sign up to say, I want to be part of a church, you're actually saying you have some right over how I live. I mean, you're posting some crazy things on Facebook, and someone says, this is on Instagram. Somebody say, my sister or my bro. You're like, who gives anybody over right over my life? You resent correction. People who resent correction, it's going to be very hard to build a lasting building, because that's the way God examines us. You have to be willing to be corrected by adults. Adult over your life. That's why church is a family. Adult over. They've been through that road. Many adults here, right? And you have to know that they correct you because they love you. If they don't care about you, they move on. Yep. There are so many people doing crazy things, you don't care. It's the people you love you correct. Yes. And you have to find out who those people are in your life. Because every time you will know, these are people, they care for me, they are watching over me. Each time they want to see how you're doing, how you're living, how you're doing your life. How are you working things in your life? And they want to bring you correction. You should be grateful you have people to correct you. Yes. So you have to surrender yourself to the discipline of the Lord. Sometimes God disciplines you by himself. But you know why God sends people to discipline you? It's because he's been trying to discipline you. You didn't listen. By the time God sends someone, really, it's because he's been telling you. You've not listened. You've hardened your heart. You've decided, I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyway. And God will send someone. And of course, you will be mad. That's not going to help you. You know why we should allow all these things? It's so that we can avoid the destructive test. I'm going to read the last passage that we're going to cover today. 1 Corinthians 3. We've read it a couple of times in the course of this series. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read it now. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day we declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. I want you to notice the day is in uppercase. Day is talking of a specific day. He's not talking about now. He's talking about the day of judgment. The day of judgment of believers. Alright? He said, if anyone's work, it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work for what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. This is describing what is called the judgment of believers. You're going to be judged how you've lived your life, how you've built your life. You're going to be judged. And he said he will be tested. But you don't want to wait for this day, because this test is what? Is destructive. This test is destructive. The work get burned. You get no credit. You don't want everything you've done, your service to God, everything, the life you built, everything, even the giving you've done. You don't want all those things to really not amount to anything, because they were not properly tested. It's not good quality. I want to present God good quality work. Is that what you want to do? Can we lift up our hands and say, God, please help me. I want to be able to, on that day, that's what you say, Lord, on that day, I want to present to you good quality work. I want to build my life with sound material. with tested and tried and true material. I want to leave even my service to you. I want to be quality service. Everything, my family, my children, my professional, my business. I want you to build it using quality material that will stand the test of time. Will you help me, Lord, to examine myself, to listen to you, to submit myself to correction, to be guided by you? Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Because I'm out of time, if you want to be prayed for, I kind of have a feeling some people will really want someone to pray for them as a result of this message.